Praise the Lord. The Lord bless each and every one that's made the effort to come tonight. And I want to just continue on because we don't know who's listening in, and I want to put the same effort in regardless to who's here and who's not here, because God could still speak to somebody we don't even know about. And I have to be faithful what I have to do. Maybe there's some people sick, I don't know, but the Lord bless each one anyway. Let's turn to Luke's Gospel tonight, and this is a familiar portion. I've preached on it quite a few times over the years. I remember preaching from this scripture one night over, just over the road here, where there was a wee mission hall, and that's a long time ago. I'm sure it's 24 years ago, or maybe even more. It was early 90s. And we just thank the Lord, His word is still true tonight. Luke chapter 16, verse 19. Luke 16, verse 19, and I want to look at lessons from a lost soul. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus which was laid at his gate full of sores, and desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's tables. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom, and the rich man also died and was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and saith Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom, and he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And beside all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so the day which would pass from thence to you cannot, neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. Then he said, I pray thee, therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house. For I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come into this place of torment. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, Nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Let us bow our heads this evening for a moment. Our gracious and our eternal God, we thank thee tonight for thy precious word. We would ask in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ that thou would anoint thy word to the hearers of thy people. And Lord, that someone this evening would hear words of life and be reached with the power of the gospel. Lord, you promised even as a brother's prayer, if you be lifted up, you will indeed draw all men unto you. Help us to lift you tonight in Jesus Christ's name in this house. Help me, I pray, Lord, and I do ask for those that are sick and afflicted at this time. Pray, Lord, you'll touch them, and I pray, Lord, you'll heal them. In the name of Jesus Christ, thank you for how you've touched my wife. I pray you'll continue to touch her and continue to minister unto her. Pray again for Madan, from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet. May he know the Master's touch in Jesus Christ's name. Now, Lord, convict men and women of sin. And Lord, I take the promised Holy Spirit to help me. And I thank you that you do, in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Praise God. Thank God for the word of God. Trench said this, sin, not till it is left, will dully sinful seem. A man must waken first, ere he can tell his dream. When sin's left, I'll tell you there's a remedy for sin, but also sin left, there's a payment. The rich man here had to waken up in eternity before he could tell the dream of a wasted life. And here Jesus tells us this wonderful story in a tragedy and yet a blessing. There's two sides to it. You know, was tremendous. And Paul said it. He said the gospel does two works. It separates to life and it separates to death. And the word of God says the preaching of the gospel is the power of God unto us that are saved. But it's a separator to death unto them that's lost. The gospel saves, but the one that rejects the gospel is lost. Here this man woke up in hell. And I tell you, that was an awful thing, wasn't it? And I'd say, wake up. You know, he was still had his senses and everything, but he was in hell. No man can serve two masters. Matthew 6:24 tells us that. For either he will love the one and hate the other. We have to be all for God and nothing for the devil. And God wants us to fully commit to him, our lives and everything, fully surrendered to the Lord. Nothing must come before Christ. If it does, get rid of it. I don't care what it is. The Lord must be first. Jesus actually said, if you love father or mother more than me, you're not worthy of me. Thank God tonight for God's mercy. Now, when these masters, and the Bible talks about the master here, these two different masters, especially when the masters differ in character as much as God and Mammon, and we know Mammon stands for the devil. The love of the riches and the pleasure of sin, both God and Mammon demand a mastery of our beings. But if the love of God does not master us, the love of the world will. The love of God must master us, or the love of the world will. If we hold to one, we must necessity despise the other. The covetous, in the pride of his heart, are always ready to justify themselves in the sight of God. There's so many people, when you tell them they need to be saved, when you tell them they're a sinner, they look at others. And they say, look what he done, look what she done. But God never once will ask you or me or anybody else what someone else done. Yes. He will point you to what he done on the cross 2,000 years ago for the world. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And we'll have to answer to that. Forgetful that they may esteem things very highly. And Luke 16 verse 14, 15 says, which are an abomination in the sight of God. And men can set things up so highly as a way that they think they're going to get to God, and God thinks nothing of them. God has only remembered one provided way. And that one provided way is through the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no other way. The words which follow here in our reading tonight, from verse 19 of our text in Luke 16. The words, a certain rich man and a certain beggar, are heavily laden upon the solemn and weighty meaning. The Lord does not call this a parable. His meaning is clear and unmistakable. Then what are the lessons we can learn from this here, what Jesus Christ himself showed us in the Word of God? There's lessons here we have to learn. A certain rich man and a certain beggar. Now, first of all, I want to say that a man may have a beautiful appearance in the sight of man and yet be utterly corrupt in the sight of God. Someone can look the part to man. You'll hear people say, you know, that fella lives a great life. But the question is he saved? Someone can live a great life, and that's good, but are they saved? Living a great life in the sight of God means nothing if you're not born again. The Bible says there's none good, no, not one. No, not one. Verse 19 of our text. There was a certain rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen and for sumptuous labor day. This fellow lived in splendor. As far as you could look at in everything that perhaps a lot of us would want. He'd probably no debt, nothing to God. He didn't know the bank a penny. But it was no use to him in the end, was it? The purple and fine linen of man's righteousness will never beautify in the eyes of God. They mean nothing. There are those who think that they They don't realize they're wretched, miserable, blind, poor, naked. Revelation 3:17 tells us that. We are living in the last church age. We're living in the time of the end. When the word of God is clear, it said this is the age that say we have need of nothing. Did you ever see an age like this? You know, when I was a wee fella, people that weren't even saved went to church. But today, people that say they're saved hardly come to church. Never mind the unsaved. Now that's true. Now you know that's the truth. That farmers and everybody years ago, they belonged, as it were, to the church somewhere, and you said, but were they saved? But the point I'm making is, look how things have lost. Yes. It's a sign of the times. Mm-hmm. We're living in the last of the last days. And Christ has done everything. He's given restoration of the gifts. He sent a super sign. He's done everything. We've saw it all. It's been all done. And yet men and women are still not turned. They still go on their way. Here's another thing. Verse 20 and 21. That a man may be pure and loathsome in the eyes of his neighbor. And yet be rich and beautiful in the sight of God. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which was laid at his gate full of sores. And the sign of a fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table. Moreover, the dogs came and licked his sores. Here was a man, as far as you could look at him, nothing. As far as you could see, nothing was going good for him, but he was saved. What will it profit a man if he gained the whole world and in the end lose his own soul? The Bible says it's scarcely for a rich man to be saved. For as it's so hard for the camel to go through the eye of a needle, so is it for a rich man to enter into heaven. There's very few rich men to be saved because they've no time for God. They've no need of God. And this rich man here, he had no time for God. But this beggar had. This man had nothing as far as this world was concerned. But he had someone. The poor beggar may have been in an object of disgust to many, but the Lord looketh not upon the outward appearance. It is no uncommon thing for the character of a poor afflicted child of God to stink in the nostrils of the covetous and the wealthy of this world. There's many a man that could look down his nose at you, but is he saved? The soul of Lazarus was a precious jewel to God, you know. Although the casket may have been poor and in a broken condition, Lazarus' soul was precious to God. And I want to say this evening in this service, the soul of every man and the soul of every woman is precious in the sight of Almighty God. That's why Jesus said, it's not my will that any should perish, but that all should be saved. The Lord wants to save everybody if they'll only come. Here's another thing in verse 22. That a man may have but the funeral of a dog and yet be attended by angel bearers. The funeral of a dog and yet be attended by angel bearers. I tell you, there was nothing fancy about this poor man's casket like there would have been like the rich man's. There wouldn't have been too many attending this poor man's funeral, but the rich man, they probably stretched for miles. In all the clamour and all the glitz, but he wasn't saved. This man was the opposite, but he was saved. Amen. No poor house inmate ever got a more unceremonial funeral than Lazarus. They rattle his bones over the stones. He is only a pauper. Nobody knows. Yes, God owns him. And white robe angels bear his emancipated spirit to the Father's bosom. Here's another thing. Verse 22 and 23. That a man may have a pompous funeral and at the same time be a miserable soul. I tell you, there's a famous man. He won the big fight last night. But there's been a documentary on about him over this past few weeks. The Gypsy King. I'm sure everybody knows him. Big Tyson Fury. Tyson Fury had everything as far as money and wealth could go. But yet an absolute despondency. And the
them and said, stop. What about your family? And he stopped and he turned the car and come home. That was God that saved them, that stopped them from killing themselves. I tell you, it doesn't matter what we have. If we don't know Jesus, it means nothing. And I tell you, would be more real mourners at some funerals if only they could see within the veil. Men, you're the guys, the past of the world's departed great ones, but what about their present? The wheel of the dead marching soul is mockery compared with the wheel of the lost soul in eternity. I tell you, when death comes, it's too late to make a decision. There's a good friend of mine, and he told me about he's reading the book and about the different stages in heaven, and that's all good. But you see, the problem is, people that come from a certain background think they're paying their way to get into heaven. But I'm going to show you tonight from Lorraine Bachner that you can't do that. I'm going to read you the quote a few moments in the service. I tell you, it's only by Christ we can come. Amen. And when we come, we have to pay nothing. Amen. It's paid in full.
Amen.
Here's another thing in verse 24. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me. Cried from hell, from a place of torment, that a man may have abundance in this world's goods, and yet in the world to come be utterly destitute and without mercy. This whisper of mammon on earth has found out in eternity a smiling providence is no evidence that the soul is right with God. Because a man is blessed here is no evidence that he's right with God. Because a building has lovely steeples and lovely spires and lovely this and lovely that doesn't mean the truth's in it. No evidence that the truth is there. If the Lord's not there, there's no truth there. But if the Lord is there, there's truth there. The everlasting thirst of a drop of water and an awful experience to a man who never knew what it meant. And he only lived for the gratification of his own desires. He never knew what it was like to want a drop of water. He probably had all the wines and all the fancy drinks man could have. The Bible says he lived sumptuously every day. Robed and dressed in the best. But here now he is in hell. And the Bible says he's in torment. I tell you, that's a long ways to let it go, isn't it? I tell you this evening, no man or no woman should let it go to that place. But they should get right with God while they're here and escape that judgment. Mark 8:36 says, and I quoted it earlier, for what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Look at verse 25 of our text. But Abraham said, Son, remember thou in thy lifetime the good things, and likewise Lazarus the evil things. But now he is comforted, and thou art commended. And you remember, when we go beyond, it's not like here. It's not like 70 years or 60 years or 50 years. It's eternity. There's no time. The Bible talks about time shall be no more. Eternity with the Lord. That if a man neglect his opportunities in this life and the life to come, he will have good cause to remember his folly. And this man here neglected in his lifetime the main thing, which was salvation. Now he's remembering his folly and he's crying out, but it's too late. Too late. Son, remember thy lifetime. God is warning him. God is saying to him, remember your lifetime. Remember the things you had, but you've no time for God. The remembrance of a wasted lifetime in the midst of many good things will be in the world to come the undying worm of remorse. Many will say, I wish to have done it, but it's too late. If only I'd have went forward when the preacher said come. If only I'd have raised my hand and prayed the sinner's prayer. If only I'd have stayed behind in that wee meeting hall. One saved and one not saved. There'll be a separation. They will never again meet when this life's finished. It'll be over. That's a tragedy. And I tell you, that's why every preacher should be sincere in the pulpit. And every Christian should be sincere in the pew praying that God will save. Suffering when that day comes, isn't it? Earthly relationships will avail us nothing when the great gulf's fixed. There was a gulf here. Amen. There was no crossing. The die was set. Everything depends on our relationship to God and His Christ. All the prayers and penance of the papacy or the purgatory will never bridge the gulf, for it's fixed. And many today are praying to get out of purgatory when it's not even in the Bible. And they're blinded by false dogmas. Blinded. I tell you, that's a tragedy, friends. It's a tragedy that you or me might have a Catholic neighbour and they're blinded. And they think there's nothing wrong with it, but they're blinded. Let me read you this evening, what Lorraine Bonner says. Paul, teaching on the subject, is quite full. He anticipated no purgatory, but said that to depart was to be with Christ from this life. To depart from this life was to be with Christ. And that it would be far better, Philippians 1:23. While we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. But to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. 2 Corinthians 5:8. This is for the believer. To the Philippines he wrote, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Chapter 1, verse 21. In answer to the question, "What must I do to be saved?" he gives a straightforward, an unqualified answer in Acts 16:31. "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." That's how simple it is. You have nothing more to do. Only believe on the Lord, and you'll be saved. No reference there to confusion, to the priest, or penance, or purgatory, or any other things such as religious works or attaches. Those who put their trust in Christ's atoning death do not come into judgment. Romans 8 verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation, and the original says judgment, to them that are in Christ Jesus. When you trust in the Lord, there's no judgment for you. I tell you, that's something tonight. Peter, the alleged founder of Romanism, declared, "Christ also suffered for sins once, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God." 1 Peter 3:18. "Hence we cannot be made to suffer that a sin a second time." We cannot be made to suffer for a sin a second time. And the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews says that God not only forgives, but pledges himself never to bring our sins till his remembrance no more. Hebrews 10:17. "And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more." No priest can call it up when Christ has forgiven it. And no minister either. It's gone. What a contrast there is between these words of Scripture concerning the state of the righteous immediately after death and that teaching which would leave us to believe the suffering of purgatory must be endured indefinitely, perhaps even for years. The Roman Church knows, of course, that the doctrine of purgatory, which is of such great importance to it, is not in the Bible. And that undoubtedly is the one and the only reason that through the ages it has kept the Bible from the people. Purgatory is therefore a travesty on the justice of God. God's justice has been fully satisfied once and for all by the sacrifice of Christ. And God cannot accept double punishment, once from Christ and again from those who he died. Hence, the redeemed soul goes to no middle station between earth and heaven, but directly to heaven. And the sacrifice of the cross was absolutely sufficient to purge all our sins without the need of any
cross. There's nothing more that I can do.
For Jesus done it all. And I am complete in Him. Isn't that the Word of God? Isn't that what it says? Matthew 13 verse 30. Let both grow together until the harvest. In the time of harvest I will say to the reapers, gather ye together first the tares and bind them into bundles to burn them. But gather the wheat into my barn. Jesus is coming for his wheat. Here's another thing. If you read from Luke 16, what we're reading, verse 24 to 28, that the prayers of the lost can avail nothing. Nothing. Neither for themselves nor for others. They can avail nothing. Those who set no value on prayers in this life will have no value set upon them in the life to come. Now is the time to pray. Now is the time to break up the fallow ground and seek the Lord. If my people shall humble themselves and fast and pray, God says they'll hear from heaven. It's praying time today. It's praying time now. It's not praying time when you're dead. It's too late. Now's the time to pray. Now's the time to seek God. It is not enough to be in earnest when the day of grace is past. Behold, now is the accepted time. Now is the day of salvation. Look at verse 29 and verse 31. And I'm almost finished. It won't be long tonight. Abraham saith unto him, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. And he said, nay, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto them, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. God, in other words, is saying, I have sent my messengers. I have sent my prophets, but they didn't hear. Could God not say that again? Could God not, in our day, say it again? Could God not say again, I sent my messengers, even my prophet? They laughed at him. They mocked him. They said it's the devil. They said all sorts of stuff against it. They're without excuse. There's a day coming when they'll have to give an account. God will not be blamed. Those who will not hear and believe the word of God shall perish without remedy. I tell you, we have to hear and believe the word of God. Jesus said, my words are spirit and they are life. Him that hath the Son hath life. Him that hath not the Son of not life. Look, I believe in healing. I believe in the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You've heard me preach it a load of times. But the most important thing for any man and any woman is to be saved. It's the most and utmost important thing is salvation. Salvation is the most important thing. God can heal us and in several years we can be sick again. But once you're saved, you're always saved. Even if you don't feel saved, I was thinking this evening, I was coming in, some people sort of have an idea that God's lost a grip of them. If you're really saved, God's never lost a grip of you. For David said, if I go to hell, he's there. If I go to the heavens, he's there. God is everywhere. And he said, I will never leave you, nor forsake you. And even when we think the Lord's left us, what about the wee story of the footprints and the sands of time? When the person was going through a difficult time and they said, Lord, you must have left me. I only saw one set of footprints. And the Lord says, no. When you saw the one set of footprints, that was when I was carrying you. And the word of God says he beareth us up upon his shoulders and he carries us. Praise his lovely name. I tell you, God's good. I'm finishing in this last saying, verse 29-31, that those who will not hear and believe the word of God, God will perish without remedy. Signs and wonders would profit us nothing if we will not hear him who God has sent to bless us. There's people could see a miracle and they'd still not believe. You know that? I've heard people saying I wouldn't believe it even if I seen it. And Jesus says, blessed are they that have not seen and yet believed. I tell you, there's men and women that will never have the chance to see things.
But they believe God anyhow. They believe God's word. And they're saved. There's others that have an opportunity. They've been blessed. They've been brought up to see things. And maybe that others never seen. But if they're not saved, they're lost.
I tell you, terrible, isn't it?
I sat in a church for years. And I was a member of this and a member of that. And it meant nothing to God. He's looking for the blood mark. The mark of the blood. The tag. That tag, that blood mark's a mark of the blood of Jesus Christ. Luke 9:35. And there came a voice out of a cloud saying, "This is my beloved Son, hear him." God wants you to hear his Son. His Son speaking. When this Bible speaks, his Son speaking. The Israelites saw his wonders and murmured against him. Many saw the miracle of Christ, and yet they hated him and they put him on a cross. Even Lazarus rose from the dead, and they sought to kill Jesus. Luke 12. They said, "He's a devil. Get him away from us." But there's those that believed. I'm finishing in Acts 16, verse 31. "Preacher, what can I do?" And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house." Lessons from a lost soul. Two men wanted everything this world could offer, and he found himself in hell, in torment. The other wanted nothing in this life, but he was packed away by the angels into Abraham's bosom. Now you remember this now. Packed away into Abraham's bosom because Jesus at that point hadn't went to the cross. I want you to think of this. This is a blessing. Listen to this carefully. Lazarus, this poor man is packed away, as they say, into Abraham's bosom. He's in a special prepared place for all the Old Testament saints are. Job's in there. Isaiah's in there. All the great men and the saints of God from all the Old Testament that were saved are in there. But when Jesus went to the cross, and Jesus said on the cross, "It's finished." And the veil ran in twain from the top to the bottom. And on the third day, God raised Christ from the dead. And the graves opened. And those that were in Abraham's bosom were released out of it. And the Bible says they saw them in the streets and in the cities. There was an opening of the graves. And God opened up that place of paradise. And he made the way into heaven itself. They were in a great place, but he made a way into the ultimate place, into heaven. Until the blood was shed, nobody could enter in. But when the blood was shed, Jesus Christ opened the door to heaven. That's why he says, "I am the door to the sheepfold. By me, he may enter in and be saved." Let's stand our feet tonight. With every head bowed, every eye closed. If someone's listening in tonight and you're not saved, I want you to take a lesson from a lost soul. Turn to Jesus Christ tonight with your whole heart. What will I do? The Bible says the word is now thee, Romans 10. The word is now thee, even in thy mouth that we preach, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ, and shalt believe in thy heart that God has raised Christ from the dead, thou shalt be saved. When you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart, you will be saved. Call on the Lord tonight and be saved. Father in heaven, we thank thee for the clarity and clearness of thy scriptures. We bless thee this evening for the gospel truth. For the gospel is the power of God unto everyone that believeth. Father, I pray this evening in the name of Jesus Christ,
that thou wilt grant deciding grace to each one that will hear this voice. Lord, let the word of God penetrate them and fill them and change them in Jesus' precious name. Lord, for any in this room tonight that needs your touch, I ask in the name of Jesus Christ that from the crown of their heads to the soles of their feet, that they may know the Master's touch tonight upon their physical being in Jesus Christ's name. Lord, I know you're a healer, and I ask you that you'll touch and heal your own people in Jesus' precious name. Father, this evening, bless those, if there's any here backslidden, that feel you're away from you. Lord, your arms open, and you're waiting. And you said, let him that's thirst come unto me, and you may drink of the water of life freely. Amen. Lord, when that man was away and spent all his living on riotous living, and everything seemed helpless and hopeless, and he ended up in a pig pen, and he did feed eat the husks that the pigs left. And he says, Lord, I'll return to my father's house, even as a servant. And Lord, when he returned and come up the driveway, as it were, his father was standing waiting with open arms and a robe and a ring for his finger. Lord, when we'll turn to you, you'll turn to us. Your word says, him that cometh unto me, I will in no wise cast out. Father, restore the backslidden tonight. Give them a real refreshing and a real blessing from the throne rooms of heaven. Give them the joy of the Lord again in their heart and in their soul. Lord, refresh every one of us tonight in Jesus' precious name. Father, bless the song that has come. Bless your people and bless your own word in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Amen. God bless each one as a brother comes.
Let us sing of him. Is there a heart that is longing, waiting for parting today? May the God message we bring you to Jesus is passing this way.